This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to counteract a strong anchor from the other side. A field-tested method for reclaiming control when the first number hits hard. In short, a strong anchor from the other side is not an offer. It is a move designed to make you negotiate against yourself before the real conversation begins. Recognizing it for what it is changes everything. Pause before responding. Your first reaction is what the anchor was built to trigger. Challenge the basis of the anchor, not just the number itself. Introduce your own counter-anchor quickly, grounded in preparation, not in reaction. Definition: counteract strong anchor refers to the deliberate process of reducing the psychological and practical influence of an opposing party's opening position in a negotiation. So, the final agreement reflects your prepared range rather than a distorted version of theirs. A colleague of mine spent months preparing for a contract renegotiation. She had the numbers, the history, the benchmarks. She walked in ready. The other side opened with a figure so low it took her breath away. And here is what happened next. She spent the entire meeting defending why their number was wrong, rather than arguing for why her number was right. She gave away the whole frame of the conversation before a single concession had been traded. She left with a deal she did not want, on terms that had been set before she said a word. That is the power of a strong anchor. It does not need to be reasonable to work. It only needs to be said first. The moment you start treating someone else's opening position as the center of the negotiation, you've lost ground you may never recover. This article gives you a clear, step-by-step method to break that hold, challenge the anchor's foundation, and reposition the conversation on your own terms. Why the first number hits harder than it should. The anchoring effect is one of the most reliable findings in all of human decision-making, and it does not care how smart or experienced you are. When you hear a number, your brain instinctively uses it as a reference point. Every figure you consider after that gets measured against it. This happens even when you know, consciously, that the anchor is extreme. I have sat across the table from people who knew exactly what was happening and still drifted toward the anchor. Knowing about bias does not automatically protect you from it. What protects you is a structured response that replaces instinct with method. A strong anchor also creates a social pressure. The other side has staked a position. Challenging it can feel confrontational. That discomfort is not a coincidence. It is part of what makes anchoring such an effective opening move. When you feel that pull toward accommodation, toward softening your reaction, and searching for a middle ground, you're experiencing the anchor working exactly as intended. What you must have in place before the conversation starts. No counter-anchoring method works without preparation. If you do not know your own numbers before you walk in, you have no ground to stand on when their number arrives. You need three things established clearly before any negotiation begins. First, your target outcome, the result you genuinely want, and that represents real value for you. Second, your walkaway point, the minimum you will accept before you leave the table. Third, your opening anchor, the number or position you are prepared to state first, or to counter with, supported by at least two specific, legitimate reasons. When these are fixed before the conversation starts, an extreme anchor from the other side becomes a problem you're prepared for, not a crisis that catches you cold. If you want to understand how to stay grounded when tension rises alongside the numbers, the core framework for tense workplace conversations is worth studying before you sit down. How to counteract a strong anchor in 6 steps. Step 1. Pause before you react. When the anchor lands, do not speak immediately. This is harder than it sounds. The other side has just said something designed to produce a reaction. Silence feels awkward. Your instinct is to fill it. Resist that instinct. A pause of 5 to 10 seconds signals that you are not rattled and that you are not treating their opening as a starting point. It also gives your own thinking a moment to settle before you respond. If you need more time, say this. That is a significant opening. Let me make sure I understand the basis for it before I respond. You have not agreed, challenged, or conceded. You have bought yourself room to think. Step 2. Acknowledge without accepting. Your next sentence must not contain the word yes or any variant that suggests their number is a plausible starting point. But you also do not want to immediately attack it and create unnecessary friction. Try, I hear what you have put on the table. Or, I understand that is your opening position. These phrases confirm you have received the information without validating it as reasonable. That distinction matters more than it might seem. Validation would shift the anchor's weight onto your side of the conversation. Step 3. Challenge the basis, not the number. This step is where most people go wrong. They argue that the anchor is too high or too low, and in doing so they legitimize it as a relevant figure. Instead, question what the anchor is built on. Ask, can you help me understand what supports that number? Or, what is that figure based on? You are not arguing. You are asking them to justify the foundation of their position. Often, they cannot do so convincingly. An extreme anchor is usually chosen for psychological effect, not because it rests on solid ground. When the reasoning is thin, saying it out loud weakens it considerably. This approach also keeps the tone professional. You are curious, not hostile. For high-stakes situations, where this kind of challenge risks escalating, the approach in how to de-escalate arguments during meetings gives you additional tools to manage the temperature. Step 4. Reframe the criteria for the conversation. Once you have questioned their anchor's basis, shift the frame entirely. Instead of debating their number, introduce the standards by which this negotiation should be judged. Say something like, what I would like to do is look at what the actual value here is, based on comparable outcomes in similar situations, and work from there. You are not reacting to their figure. You are proposing a different starting point objective criteria rather than their arbitrary opening. This reframe is one of the most powerful moves available to you. It pulls the conversation away from a tug of war over their number and places it on ground where your preparation gives you real strength. Step 5. Introduce your counter-anchor deliberately. Now you bring in your own number, not as a reaction, not as a compromise. As your prepared opening position, grounded in the criteria you just introduced, state it clearly and give it 2 supporting reasons immediately. Based on the comparable figures I have looked at, and given the scope of what is on the table here, my position is X. That reflects Y and Z. The reasons anchor your number to something real. They make it harder to dismiss, and harder to erode through counter-pressure. Your counter-anchor should sit at or near your target outcome, not at your walk-away point. If you open at your floor, you have nowhere to go. Give yourself room to move while still protecting what matters. Step 6. Hold your position through the first wave of resistance. After you introduce your counter-anchor, expect pushback. The other side will express surprise, disappointment, or disbelief. This is a predictable move. Do not treat it as information about whether your position is correct. Hold your ground with calm specificity. I understand that is different from what you had in mind. My position is based on the factors I have outlined, and I am confident in those. Do not soften the number in response to emotional pressure. Soften only when something of genuine substance has been offered in return. This is the moment where preparation pays off. If you know why your number is right, holding it becomes a matter of courage rather than stubbornness. There is a real difference between those 2 things, and the other side will feel it. When the anchor arrives without warning. Sometimes you do not get the chance to prepare for a specific anchor. A number gets dropped into an email, a meeting, or a casual conversation before you expected the negotiation to begin. The same principles apply, but the sequence compresses. Buy time immediately. I want to give that the consideration it deserves. Can we come back to it properly? If you cannot defer the response, use the pause, acknowledge, challenge sequence from steps 1 through 3. Even in a fast-moving conversation, you've more time than the other side wants you to believe you do. The mistake most people make in unexpected anchoring situations is responding at the speed the anchor was delivered. You do not have to. Taking your time is not weakness. It is a signal that you're taking the matter seriously and that you're not going to be moved by the pace of someone else's opening move. If you find the conversation turning confrontational, the neutral problem statement technique can help you reset the tone before it slides into conflict. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when facing a strong anchor. The mistake. Immediately searching for the midpoint between their anchor and your position. Why it happens. It feels like fairness, but it simply rewards an extreme opening. What to do instead? Treat their anchor as irrelevant to the midpoint calculation. Base any movement on the merits of what is being exchanged, not on splitting the difference. The mistake: over-explaining why their number is unreasonable. Why it happens. You want to demonstrate that you know your material. What to do instead? Ask one well-aimed question about their basis, then redirect to your own criteria. More than one or two challenges, and you are still debating their frame, not establishing yours. The mistake: conceding ground early to signal goodwill. Why it happens. You want to appear reasonable and cooperative. What to do instead? Signal goodwill through tone and posture, not through premature movement on numbers. A warm, direct manner and a firm position are entirely compatible. The mistake: forgetting your prepared anchor under pressure. Why it happens. The other side's number hijacks your thinking before you can deploy yours. What to do instead? Write your counter anchor and your two supporting reasons on a single card before the meeting. Glance at it when their anchor arrives. The physical act of reading your own preparation breaks the anchor psychological pull. If any of these mistakes land in a situation that has already turned into conflict between colleagues, the deal method for diffusing tension and word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension give you specific language for recovery. And if the negotiation has already damaged a working relationship, the bridge method addresses how to rebuild it. For a deeper understanding of when to press through tension and when to resolve it, tension suppression versus tension resolution is worth reading alongside this. Your pre-negotiation anchor checklist. Use this before any negotiation, where you expect the other side to open first. Number 1. Write down your target outcome in one specific sentence. Not a range, a number or a position. Number 2. Write down your walk-away point. The minimum you will accept before you leave the table. Number 3. Write your opening counter-anchor. This should sit close to your target, giving you room to make genuine concessions later. Number 4. List two specific, factual reasons that support your counter-anchor. Not opinions, not feelings. Comparable figures, scope descriptions, market data, precedent. Number 5. Prepare your challenge question. What is that figure based on? Written out so you have it ready when your anchor arrives. Number 6. Write out the reframe sentence you will use to introduce objective criteria. Practice saying it aloud at least once. Number 7. Decide in advance what concessions you are willing to make and what you will ask for in return for each one. This checklist takes 15 minutes. It is worth more than any amount of tactical cleverness in the room. The ground you walk in with. Here is the truth of it: a strong anchor has real power only over someone who has not decided what they believe before the negotiation begins. When you walk in with your own position clearly set, your supporting reasons prepared, and your counter anchor ready, your opening number becomes just that, an opening. Nothing more. I have watched people with strong preparation face extreme anchors and feel genuinely unmoved by them, not because they were cold or experienced, but because they already knew where they stood. That is what preparation gives you. Not arrogance. Just ground under your feet. Every step in this process for how to counteract a strong anchor comes back to the same principle: you cannot be pulled toward a number you never accepted as relevant. Decide your position before you enter the room, and the other side's anchor loses most of its power before you have said a single word. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to counteract a strong anchor? To counteract a strong anchor means to deliberately reduce the psychological pull on the negotiation, rather than treating the other side's opening number as a legitimate starting point. You do this by challenging its basis, reframing the conversation, and introducing your own well-prepared anchor. How do you respond to an extreme opening offer in a negotiation? Do not accept the framing that extreme offer creates. Pause, acknowledge without agreeing, and directly question the basis for the number. Then reframe the discussion around your own criteria and introduce a counter anchor that reflects your prepared position, not a reaction to theirs. Why is anchoring so hard to ignore in a negotiation? Anchoring works because the human mind uses the first number it hears as an unconscious reference point. Even when you know the anchor is unreasonable, it pulls your thinking toward it. Awareness alone is rarely enough. You need a structured response to break its hold. What is a counter anchor, and when should you use it? A counter anchor is a number or position you introduce deliberately to shift the negotiation's reference point away from the other side's opening. Use it immediately after you've challenged their anchor's basis, so you're not simply reacting, but actively establishing a new frame for the discussion. How do you prepare to counteract anchoring before a negotiation? Know your target outcome. your walkaway point, and the legitimate criteria that support your position before you sit down. Prepare your own anchor number, and the two or three facts that justify it. The more clearly you have defined your own range, the less power any external anchor will have over you. Can you counteract an anchor if you are caught off guard by it? Yes, buy time with a brief pause and a neutral acknowledgement. Say you need a moment to consider the basis for that figure. This breaks the expectation of an immediate reaction, gives you time to recover your position, and signals that you are not accepting their frame without scrutiny. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.